From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 13th day of May, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Sue Martin from Ag and Investment Services. She's in Iowa and filling in today for Jackie Vakes, who's out of the office. A bit later in the program, we'll take up the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And along the way, I'll update you on what that fourth stimulus package that Washington, D.C. is considering this week, though it doesn't look very likely, includes, and how it might help out the ethanol producer across the nation. And we'll hear about some work that's being done in the fields right here in Champaign County on cover crops and cereal rye termination as it relates to insect populations on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Wednesday in Chicago, corn futures finished 3.5 lower. The nearby May at 3.20 1/4, July at 3.18 1/4, down 4 cents, and September 3.5 lower. It finished at 3.22 1/2. December contract at 3.32 1/2, 3.25 lower. Next year's March down 3.25 at 3.45 1/4. May beans were down 13 1/4 cents, $8.36 the settlement price. July at 8.39 1/2, 12.5 lower, and November beans down 11.5 cents at 8.45 1/2, and January futures there at 8.47 1/2, 11 lower. May soybean oil down 35 cents at 25.63. The bean meal down 3.40 at 285.20. July soft red winter wheat 12 3/4 lower, 5.01 3/4 the settlement price. The hard red down 15 cents at 4.54 1/4. Live cattle futures in Chicago, June, $93.87 1/2, down $3.30. August at 98.42 1/2, 3.27 1/2 lower. And feeder cattle in that May contract down $2 at $125.30 per 100 pounds. August down 2.67 1/2. Lean hogs at the May contract, $68 even, 2.5 lower. The June down 3.45 at $57.87 1/2. That May contract in the lean hogs, by the way, trading at $68 even. Crude oil futures at $24.94, about 85 cents lower. Ethanol futures are up 3 2/10 cents at $1.13 8/10 cents per gallon. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 6 cents lower at around 83 2/10 cents. Gasoline on the RBOB is down 6 6/10 cents at 85 2/10 cents. Natural gas at $1.61, 11 cents lower for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, about 385 points lower. The U.S. dollar up 0.269. And the gold futures for the day, up $8.30 at $1,712.70 for the day. We're now joined by Sue Martin. She is at Ag and Investment Services in Clarion, Iowa. Good afternoon to you, Sue, and thanks for being with us on this Wednesday.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, Todd.
Okay, let's start with conditions on the ground. I know over the weekend that the cold dipped deep into Iowa, parts of Illinois, and then going east, even cooler. I'm wondering if you were in an area that suffered any frost or freeze damage.
Well, we were. In fact, we were 28 degrees at 6:45 in the morning on Saturday morning. Then we moderated from there and didn't have any more freezing temps after that. But it was cold for a while and did singe the beans, turned them black for the ones that were out of the ground. And the corn kind of nipped it a little bit, but the corn should be okay. It should, you know, the growing points below the ground and or below the dirt. And so that should have been protected, and I think we'll be fine on the corn.
I made note that Iowa was, what, 91% along on Sunday as it relates to acres of corn planted. That was just an extraordinary figure. Is there anything left to plant in your area?
None. We're done in our area. There may be some replanting of beans now, but the market never really looks at replanting. It just looks at the first go-around. And so, you know, in our area and anywhere, it doesn't take long with the equipment we have today to put the crop in the ground if conditions are agreeable, and that's what we've had. So, but interestingly, I had a client send me pictures yesterday of the Delta, and they had flown over the Delta and was crop touring, so to speak, to see what was planted and what wasn't. An awful lot of Delta still yet to be planted.
Yeah, that and a good portion of North Dakota is awfully wet, and they've got crop not much left to get out yet. So some interesting things still happening geographically in the United States. Still fringe areas, though I suppose it does make a bit of a difference over the long haul. Maybe not given what WASDE showed yesterday. Not entirely unexpected, but there still remains 97 million acres of corn out there. How do you put that into your marketing plan for the year?
Well, to be honest with you, we think that some of these fringe areas, like North Dakota, will end up probably, either they do make a shift towards soybeans, we wouldn't be surprised if they take prevent plant for corn instead. And I think they'll probably be a little bit paid off better than if they go to the beans and try to do that. It's still, we're, you know, heading in by Friday, the end of the middle of the month of May. It's hard to believe that's flying so fast. But when we look at the acres, you know, I'm looking at the corn market, and data that I'm seeing is showing or indicating that we're seeing some smart money buying in corn. And, of course, Minneapolis wheat as well. And a little bit starting to surface in the soy meal. So, you know, our take has been for quite some time that we would strike a low in June. And for whatever reason, we would turn and we would be better the last half of the year. Now, granted, today everything's in red that's agriculturally related, and it's because of China's Vice Premier Li He, who's the leading negotiator for them, was making comments that they needed to see a friendlier atmosphere or attitude in order to talk about phase one again. And President Trump is saying, no, we're not going to reopen these phase one agreements. We've already agreed. And I think he's right in thinking that. But our take is that China still needs more. And they are doing this. It's all about their actions rather than their words. But they're trying to drive the price down so they can just come in and buy more. I think that we're going to be looking at the demand side as we get in. We're hearing about ethanol plants starting to reopen. We've kind of keyed in some of the loss in usage for corn for ethanol, but now we're starting to hear reopenings, and so we'll see how well they run and how much they accumulate. I think that it's a psychological thing that we're looking ahead, seeing people starting to get out and drive a little more. It's not going to be like it once was here before this happened, but we'll get back there someday. It's just right now we're having to take one step at a time.
You know, the EIA saying that some 617,000 barrels a day were produced last week at the end of May, I think the 8th. That was 19,000 more barrels per day than the week prior, though oftentimes that number had been above a million barrels a day. So it has a long, long ways to go. How do producers manage their new crop at this point, if anything, for both corn and soybeans? And quite frankly, they still have old crop corn to market, too.
Oh, they do. There's a fair amount of old crop corn to market. And basis has improved a little bit with ethanol plants opening. But I would say if we're able to garner, we're into a choppy week of market performance, but if they're able to garner the July futures up to maybe 331, 335, I would say take advantage of it, especially if you've got basis contracts, and get some of that old crop, a chunk of it maybe gone. On the new crop, we have not been pushing new crop sales yet. The price has gotten quite low. Can we go to a $3, $2.90 type of a number? I'm not going to say we can't, but I will say that I'm looking more at time. And I kind of wonder if the best prices we see this year actually on new crop corn comes in November to December.
How much above 320, which is the average cash price that USDA put out yesterday, if at all, are you thinking about?
Well, I would have to say if you're looking at the old crop, I would be a little more aggressive. I'm going to say, you know, at least half, get half of it gone. And the problem is then if I'm right that we're going to make a low in June, you still have to turn from that low and start back. So it might be such a thing that a producer moves more aggressively, gets the corn gone, and then looks to re-own, maybe back with, you know, be it call options in some form of a matter as we go down the road for protection. And feed usage, too, or feed end users need to be protecting their feed costs as well.
What's your best advice on soybeans for the day?
Well, I'm not as enthusiastic about beans, but I think that that market, you know, we got up to, what, 865 this week. That's a pretty kind of a number that has been, looking back, kind of a resistance. And if we were to make an effort, say on the Novembers even, to try to get up closer to $9, and I'm not sure it can do it just right in front of us, if that was to occur, I would have to say, make some sales, get them, you know, get some stuff sold, because you can always come back and utilize calls to own back. As far as if we start to get into June and we start striking lows, then from there and we start to rally, I want to come in and maybe use puts to level this risk. I look at the markets here. And, yeah, we've got acres coming. We had to expect that after a year like last year. But there's areas that, you know, the question mark is how many bean acres are we going to garner out of the North Dakota, parts of South Dakota, Wisconsin, Michigan. You know, it's going to be real questionable as to how much of that goes into beans. And because farmers do love to plant corn if they can get the chance.
Hey, thanks so much, Sue. We appreciate you filling in for the day.
No problem. You have a great day.
I will. Thank you so much. That's Sue Martin. She's with Ag and Investment Services in Clarion, Iowa. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to listen to her again, you can do that on our website. Just click and play at willag.org. Look for the Closing Market Report. Most of our agricultural programming is posted there not long after it airs on our radio stations, and sometimes even before it airs, like Commodity Week. We'll put that up tomorrow night at about 6 o'clock on Thursday evening. Again, it's willag.org. Or if you prefer to listen to us as a podcast, you can always do that. Just search for the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, the Opening Market Report, and places like Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, and even Spotify. However you listen to us, thank you so much for taking your time and spending it with us here at Illinois Public Media. In today's agricultural news, just a couple of items. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi yesterday introduced the four stimulus legislation called the HEROES Act. The measure includes a provision that establishes a new renewable fuels reimbursement program at USDA. The American Coalition for Ethanol CEO Brian Jennings says he's pleased the bill provides help for the ethanol and biofuels industries.
Congress is considering the fourth phase of stimulus legislation. Phases 1, 2, and 3 left ethanol producers, biodiesel producers on the cutting room floor. This legislation, introduced today by the Speaker of the House of Representatives, it could be voted on as early as Friday, would provide meaningful financial aid to ethanol producers, to biodiesel producers, for the catastrophic losses that they experience.
Jennings says the deep losses seen by biofuels producers were caused mainly by impacts of the pandemic.
We're talking about unexpected market losses as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, as you indicate, the fact that people were instructed to stay at home to slow the curve of the virus, how that led to just a dramatic downfall in the use of transportation fuel, including ethanol. And so this is what emergency type assistance that Congress enacts is designed for.
And the Coalition for Ethanol CEO says while they're hoping for passage in the Senate, at this point it looks like a bit of an uphill battle.
Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, has suggested that he wants to tap the brakes on stimulus aid. And I know there's a breathtaking amount of taxpayer assistance that has already gone out the door. So I understand his desire to be responsible with taxpayer dollars. But it's also very true that many sectors of the economy have been overlooked by stimulus legislation. And we know we have bipartisan support in both the Senate and the House to include ethanol producers in this next round.
Brian Jennings says his organization will work to convince senators from both parties to agree to the new measure. Let's turn our attention now from Washington, D.C. to cover crops in the field. Researchers at the University of Illinois were in the field earlier this week counting insects in cereal rye used as a cover crop ahead of corn. It's all part of the work Illinois Extension entomologist Nick Sider is doing with cover crops.
What we're looking at is insect populations out here. And so before planting, we're sampling primarily for beneficial insects, ground beetles, spiders, which aren't insects but are beneficial. We're also looking at some pests such as slugs, and we're going to look at the effect that that termination timing of that rye has on insects and on pest management.
Once the field is planted to corn, Sider says he'll turn his attention to how the insects are damaging the crop. The point is to see if the termination timing of rye is correlated in any way to the insect damage to the corn.
So ultimately what we're trying to do is develop management recommendations for farmers to determine if termination timing is going to have an effect on pest management, and if it does, what that effect is, how they can mitigate that, how they can plan for that, and what they need to be on the lookout for when they're planting corn following a rye cover crop.
This particular cover crop research is funded in part by Illinois NREC. The Nutrient Research Education Council was created by state statute in 2012 and funded by a 75-cent per ton assessment on bulk fertilizer. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. On this Wednesday, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, it's been cold, it's been wet, it's been gray. I'm ready at least for some warmer weather. I guess that's coming up soon, right? I hope.
It is. It is. Actually, I think by the time we get to the end of this weekend, it's going to be really nice in the plains. Now, the Midwest will probably have to wait until Monday or Tuesday, but we're going to get there. We have a lot of rain and thunderstorms that we're going to have to deal with between now and then. Typical when we start warming up after being so unusually cool that we start condensing a lot of moisture out of the atmosphere. And the Gulf of Mexico is going to be opening up, so we will see an influx of moisture into the region. So showers and thunderstorms will begin down in Texas here today, and we'll see them spread northward and eastward across the heart of the Midwest as we go forward from Thursday through Sunday. So we'll have to deal with that first. But right after that, we'll start to heat up, and we'll see temperatures getting into the 70s and 80s. And in fact, I think we're going to see 80-degree temperatures all the way up into Canada by the time we get to Monday or Tuesday. And it'll take a little while for the heat to get into the eastern part of the Midwest. But I think Tuesday and Wednesday of next week will certainly get us there. And it will not rain during the warmer days. So we should get probably 4 days, if not 5 days in a row, of mostly dry and warm conditions. So this is our big opportunity to get back into the field. Hopefully it doesn't rain so much in the next few days that we have to sit on the sidelines for very long. But I think we ought to be able to get 2 or 3 days of good hard work in before the next round of rain comes later next week.
What are the places you're worried about, either in Canada or the United States?
Well, you know, right now there's some pockets of interest out there. I don't know that it's worth getting overly concerned about, but in hard red winter wheat country, we're still too dry in areas from West Texas all the way up into western Nebraska, mostly western Kansas and eastern Colorado. And that High Plains region is still not likely to see a lot of rain over this next several-day period. However, we mentioned the high-pressure ridge. Well, when that high-pressure ridge shifts into the Midwest, it will open the Gulf of Mexico, and moisture will come flowing to the northwest across Texas and will help to stimulate rain and thunderstorm activity in Kansas and point southward through western Texas, as well as all of the plains eventually. And so there will be some relief coming up. The big question, of course, is whether or not that's going to come too late. already the Texas and Oklahoma crop is pretty far advanced, and it's not likely to benefit greatly, at least from a yield perspective on wheat. But we might see some grain quality improvements. Up in the northern plains and Canada's prairies, all this cold weather has really delayed some crop development and a little bit of farming activity, especially in Canada. The ground is still trying to warm up enough to support some crops. They are planting, but the crop development is pretty slow. And this warm-up coming up over the next week is going to bring much improvement up there, but it's also going to bring rain. And there's a good chance that the farmers in the northern plains as well as Canada's prairies will be set back a little bit because it's going to rain over a multiple-day period as the warm air comes into their cold air. So kind of a negative situation up there. I don't think either one of these situations is so grim that we're going to be looking at a big market reaction, but it'll be of interest. And then lastly, in the U.S., the southeastern states, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, the Carolinas, they are already well into a dry period, and they're going to go at least 2 weeks without any rain. So eventually the crop moisture stress in those states will become very significant, and we'll watch how that impacts the crops there.
Second crop corn in South America was in a bit of trouble at one point earlier in the calendar year, that because of dry conditions. Has that been alleviated, and what do conditions look like today?
Yeah, it has been partially relieved. The western portions of that Safrinha corn country has seen showers and thunderstorms here recently and has improved the topsoil moisture. Areas to the east, though, not quite so good and still somewhat tenuous on their yield potential. I did read that CONAB, that's the one of the official estimating agencies in Brazil, has recently lowered the yield on the Safrinha corn, but they increased the overall production because of the area planted had been increased. With that in mind, these eastern crop areas in Goiás and São Paulo and eastern parts of Mato Grosso do Sul and eastern Mato Grosso, they are probably going to continue struggling for moisture during their reproductive season, which is still about halfway through. And so they may lose a little more yield, but I think you're correct in your implication here that maybe conditions aren't quite as bad as they were feared to be. And we do have these showers coming up that will help to hold the crop together a little while longer. And I think this will lead us into only a small amount of loss, perhaps.
Is that not as bad as we thought maybe it might be, Moniker? The same for parts of Ukraine, Russia, and France as it relates to hard red winter wheat?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those areas were quite dry last fall when the planting took place. They came into spring. They had some moisture, and then they lost it, and they got very dry again. And then we had some rain here over the past week to week and a half or two, and that has moistened the ground just enough to revitalize some of these crops. So they, too, are probably looking at some lower yields, but it's not nearly the potential disaster that everyone was concerned about a week or two ago.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a great day.
You, too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.